All right, let's head on over to the other side and find out what number three is. And don't give it away.
Okay.
Find out what number three is, and we'll go from there.
I'm trained.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to say what it is too, right? Morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible. Hello, Dr. Energy.
Hello, Rara.
I really love what's happening today here with us.
Oh, yeah? What's that? What specifically are you loving?
I'm loving the education aspect of what we're doing and what we did. I'm loving the tips and smart tricks to remembering and to learning. I never thought counting to 10 would be so fun.
Okay, quick. Number six.
Gun.
Excellent.
I was like, I wasn't sure what we were referring to. Right, just it's going to stick in my head. And the more we practice it,
exactly.
Right, our audience will know what that is a little bit later once they hear what's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened here since we started recording today was we had beautiful, sunny Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario.
Right.
And then we had torrential downpour.
Mm.
It was like some dark fall day. And
right.
Now that's gone and we're back in like another season again. It's funny how we just experienced all these really strange weather patterns.
Right.
So there's, if we want to be intuitive and if we want to see the messages that we're getting, I'm staying inside today.
Yeah, we have a gray, overcast, off and on rainy day. Not heavy rain, just sprinkle here and there, and then it dries out for an hour or so, and then it decides to rain a little bit more again. So who knows what the rest of the day is going to be like.
Puts a damper on that, but it really makes me think about how hitting the bench with the weights is going to be a way better day than looking to when am I going to go take some kind of an, you know, like to go outside. We walk along the Niagara Parkway and stuff like that. But when the weather's like this, we're like, we better just make another plan. There's no reason to let the day go by. So I'm going to go hit the bench.
I've got my kettlebells over there, just off to my left there. And I'll be, and, you know, after we finish up here, probably is probably when I'll work out. So yeah.
Just feels good, right? Feels good to get the body moving. And I know if we don't make a plan for it, it just goes. And what I love about what we learned today is, you know, making a plan, having a plan to be smart. And the tips and the education that we got from Howard was so insightful. I mean, this is the second time I've been with him. I've heard him. The first time was through my Rotary at one of our meetings. And I am going to peruse his website so that I can hear him and listen to him and take his courses. I think we're going to be a lot smarter after we dive into that.
Especially some of the strategies that he shares on the podcast with us about how to remember things. Because it's not... He's known as a speed reader, but what he's really about is speed learning. And
oh, yes.
I think that is a big differentiation because you can speed read, but can you learn what you just read? Can you comprehend it? Can you remember it and apply it in your life? And that's really what his goal is. And I think that's really a really important differentiation.
And I really make that New York connection with him. You know, it's just... brightens me right up to hear him speak. And I feel like I can hear him think. Let's get our audience over there to really experience Howard Berg in the moment, in the BU moment with us.
All right, let's head on over to the other side and find out what number three is. And don't give it away.
Okay.
Find out what number three is and we'll go from there.
I'm trained.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to say what it is too, right? So just pay attention to what number three is when Howard starts helping us learn how to learn.
Let's go there.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is Be You, Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking, receive instant feedback and achieve quick results, and feel confident that no one is laughing unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships.
Hello, Dr. Energy.
Hello, Rara.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Our guest has brought me right back home to the Big Apple. I am so excited. I'm home, baby. That's what happened. Yeah, that's how I feel today.
I'm home. It's feels like coming home. What's that Billy Joel song? I'm in a New York state of mind.
Absolutely. Right here, right now. Let me get right to it. I would love to introduce our amazing guest today, Howard Speedyberg. Has been recognized for setting the world record. Ready for this? Wait for it. For speed reading.
Wow. One of my favorite things to do. Read.
He is listed in the 1990 Guinness Book of World Records for reading more than 25,000 words a minute.
Wow.
Howard has appeared on over 1,100 radio and television programs, including Neil Cavuto, Jon Stewart, and Live with Regis. His brain-based learning strategies have been hailed as a major breakthrough in publications like Forbes, FYI, Selling, Men's Health, Redbook, and Bottom Line magazine, and have been featured in dozens of newspaper interviews throughout North America.
Wow.
I would like to give a personal round of applause to Howard. I heard Howard at our Rotary. Yes, let's applause for him, please. Our Rotary Club of St. Catharines. And when Howard was presenting in our meeting, I was blown away, glued to the screen, didn't want him to stop speaking. Howard, welcome to BU Network Podcast.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate you being here. Howard, I know you must answer this question a million times. How did you figure out that you could read 25,000 words a minute?
Well, when I was younger, I lived in the projects in Brooklyn, which was not a great place to grow up. A lot of gangs, very violent. And I found the safest place in the neighborhood was the library, because gang kids would rather be dead than caught in the library. So I read a lot, and I read well. I had college reading when I was 11. And I went to the State University of New York, Binghamton, at 17 to major in biology. Well, my last semester of my junior year, I got interested in the brain as a branch of biology called psychobiology, not psychotic biology, that's Freudian. Psychobiology is biology behavior. And so I told the dean I want to major in psych and bio. And he said, you have 1 year left, you had no psych courses. I have to do a 4-year program in 1 year and finish bio and had 3 jobs. He says, you're not smart enough. That's when I realized they never taught me how to learn. So I figured out how to learn. I got up to 80 pages a minute. I did the 4-year psych program in 1 year. And then I took the graduate record exam in biology. So in 3 nights, I reviewed 48 books like biochemistry, genetics, cell physiology. I got 3 questions wrong. So I was in the 99th percentile. And then I wondered, was it me or the system? So I taught this to kids that are 11 to 15 years old, and they did a semester of lifelong developmental psychology in a week. And they took the advanced placement test, and they all, 15 out of 18, passed the college course in 1 week.
Wow.
That's amazing, Howard. No, I watched you, heard you perform, speak, present at our Rotary Club. And you did an exercise. I know maybe it's difficult to do it without the visuals today, but you did an exercise about teaching us how to remember things
Yes.
by giving us images. Can you talk to us a little bit about this process?
We could do it. You don't need to.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm up for that. Yeah.
Well, people say, you know, you read 80 pages a minute. Do you remember anything? And the answer is, yeah, I remember a lot, but so can you. You just never were taught how. So I'm going to do an experiment now. I'm going to give you 10 things to remember. You might remember it from the other rotary.
Right.
And I won't show you how, and our audience can do this with us. And then I'll show you how. And what was a seemingly impossible task becomes effortless. And then when you're done, I'll show you that it's not a drill, it's a tool and how to use it.
Okay.
So we'll start off with the 10 things. You want to remember pole, shoes, tricycle, car, glove, gun, dice, skate, cat, and bowling pins. And it's probably safe to say those who weren't at your Rotary Club don't know all 10 things right now. Well, they will. And not only will they yes. know it in 3 minutes, but they could teach this to children as young as 3, and they'll learn it too. And it is that simple. 2 tips. First, you only remember 10% of what you read and 90% of what you say and do. Since this is a tool, you want to remember it. So when I ask you to say and do, please do. And that's for our audience as well. The ancient Greeks discovered a shortcut for learning a list. Take a list that you know that's hanging in your memory and hang the new list on it. It takes less time. I'm going to bet everyone listening to this podcast can count to 10. I feel very confident that I'm right. And we're going to use those 10 numbers to learn those 10 items super fast. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready, Howard.
The number 1 looks like a pole, like a flagpole or a lamp pole. So when I say 1, you say pole. 1.
Pole.
Pole.
Perfect. 2 is the number of shoes you wear. So when I say 2, say shoes. 2.
Shoes.
1.
Pole.
Pole.
Perfect. 3 is a tricycle. There's 3 wheels on a tricycle. So 3 is?
Tricycle.
Tricycle.
2 is?
Shoes.
And 1 is?
Pole.
Pole.
Perfect. 4 is a car. There's 4 tires on a car. So when I say 4, say car. 4.
Car.
Car.
2. Jump to 2.
Shoes.
1.
Pole.
Pole.
3.
Tricycle.
Notice I'm jumping all over the map. It's not mattering anymore. You're learning how to do it. 5 is a glove. There's 5 fingers in a glove. What's 5?
Glove.
Glove.
What's 3?
Tricycle.
Tricycle.
What's 1?
Pole.
Pole.
It's getting easier. 6 is a gun. I lived in Texas for 23 years. Everyone had a gun except me. 6 gun. What's 6?
Gun.
A gun.
4?
Car.
And 2?
Shoes.
Perfect. 7 is lucky in dice, at least on the first throw. 7 is dice. What's 7?
Dice.
And what was 5? Think of fingers.
Glove.
3.
Tricycle.
Tricycle.
1.
Pole.
We're almost done. Rhymes work. Say 8 skate.
8 skate.
Skate.
What's 8?
Skate.
8.
6. What did they love in Texas?
Gun.
Gun.
Good. 4.
Car.
Car.
2.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Perfect. 9 is a cat. How many lives does a cat have? 9. So 9 is a?
Cat.
Cat.
And 7 was lucky in what game?
Dice.
Dice.
And 5 is a?
Glove.
3?
Tricycle.
Tricycle.
1?
Pole.
Pole.
Last 1 is 10. 10 bowling pins in an alley. 10 bowling pins. What's 10?
Bowling pins.
Let's do the list that you couldn't do now, and then I'll show you how it's used. 1.
Pole.
Pole.
2.
Shoes.
Shoes.
3.
Tricycle.
4.
Car.
Car.
5.
Glove.
6. Texas.
Gun.
Gun.
7's lucky in?
Dice.
8 rhymes with?
Skate.
9 is a?
Cat.
Cat.
What was 10?
Bowling pins.
Perfect. You just learned how to speed memorize numbers. Let's say you're in a hotel and the room is 314. most people, by the time they get to the lobby, they don't remember what room they were in. So we're going to make pictures out of the numbers because pictures are easy to remember. And we'll make it something easy to picture. A tricycle hits a pole on a car. A tricycle hits a pole on a car. Tricycle, what number?
Three.
Three.
Hits a pole.
One.
One.
On a car.
Four.
Four.
That's your room. Tricycle, pole, car. It's also pi. In yes. geometry, 3.14, which everyone forgets. So I teach this to young people for math, science, and history dates. People that are older use it for percentages, due dates, phone numbers, room numbers, even product SKU numbers. And the zero, because numbers only go 0 to 9. That's it. That's mm-hmm. the alphabet numbers. The zero is the 10 bowling pins. All the others are 1 through 9. Easy to remember.
Wow. That's awesome.
I love this exercise. I love it.
It's interesting. I have that you studied 4 years of psychology in 1 year. I have a minor degree in psychology from undergrad as well. So I can totally appreciate the depth and how much there was to learn in 4 years to do it in 1 year.
It was hard. I took like psychophysiology, testing mm-hmm. and measurement, statistics.
Yeah. Neuropsychology,
neuropsychology, motivation,
yep.
and plant systematics, which was not light learning either. And so I had 6 science courses, 4 credit courses, and 2 1 credit courses, wow. and 2 4-hour labs. Back yep. then, lab reports were done on a slide rule, so it took 16 hours.
Wow,
so 40 hours of lab. 18 credits of school and 3 jobs of 18 hours a week. So it was pretty, I wouldn't recommend, I was young. I didn't know better. I wouldn't recommend. When we're young, I got a college. My first job, I worked in a Title I school in New York. My interview was, teachers get killed here. Do you want the job? And instead of saying, hell no, I'm like, nailed it. I was a kid.
Of course. Nobody. You don't think about it.
You don't think, yeah, sure. I want the job.
I just want a job, man.
That's exactly. That's, yeah. You're a kid. You're out of college. Your mom said, go get a job. I'm throwing you out. Yeah. Go get a job, right? And that was 10 years. 4 teachers went out on gurneys. Wow. 1 in a coma.
Oh,
It was a scary job. It really was. Yeah. 2% graduated in one of my schools. 2%. Wow. 98% dropout rate. And I volunteered to teach learning. They wouldn't let me. They said it wasn't in the curriculum. So I said to the principal, how can I ruin your numbers? You got a 98% failure rate. Damn. Yeah. So I quit to do what I'm doing. And a year after I quit, they closed the school because no wow. one graduated. They couldn't. How do you keep a school open if nobody graduates?
It's crazy. And actually, one of my best friends from Toronto, he ended up going to do his doctorate in education and leadership at NYU, and is now, and his thesis was all on some of the statistics that you're talking about, why some schools are like that, and how the curriculum needs to change, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
I love Toronto. In fact, Scarborough is one of the suburbs.
That's where I grew up.
Oh, well, then you like this. Many years ago, I was working with the Learning Annex, and I met a vice principal from Scarborough who came to my class. He said, I want you to train my students. They're in third grade. I said, third grade? That's too young. He said, not my school. My kids in third grade have 8th grade reading. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I'll do it, but I can't promise you any results because they're so young. So I went to Scarborough. I trained a class of 8th grade, of 8-year-olds in 3rd grade. Every one of them doubled. One girl was reading in 5 seconds a page. It was so, it made me feel so good because I'm thinking, this kid's 8 years old. She can read 5 seconds a page. She could do anything she wants in her life now. Mm. What an amazing thing she could do, and it made me feel I did something good.
It's incredible. We had my grade school class, we were one of those classes that had, we were kind of above the standard, at least one standard deviation above average as far as academics went, and all of that thing. We had our class went through grade school getting tested all the time, and it was crazy. So I totally get that.
Your Canadians are much smarter than Americans. And I'm not saying it to make you feel good. It's actually true. There's 40 million Americans who can't read.
Wow.
You don't even have 40 million Canadians. Yeah. So imagine if every person in Canada was illiterate. Wow. That's how many people in America are illiterate.
Wow.
That's a very scary number. That's
very sad. Very sad.
Yes.
And speaking of numbers, you hold a record with the Guinness Book of World Yes. Records. Tell us about that. I mean, it says 25,000, but I've read anywhere from 25 to 80,000 words. And that just, I mean, I'm a pretty fast reader, but definitely not in your league, at least at this point.
Well, the real limit to me, I read a page and a half a second. So really what determined was how many words are on the page.
Okay.
And, you know, the size of the font. How big is the page? They're not all the same. There's 8.5 by 11 pages.
Right.
There's pocketbooks. So, you know, everything's a little different, but it's about a page and a half a second.
Right.
And one of the limiting factors is I had to turn the page. It takes time. It's not a man. You know, if you think it takes a half a second to turn a page, well, that's a lot of time when you're reading a page and a half a second.
Yeah. So,
that's what slowed me down was turning the pages.
Right. It's and you must have had this experience when you developed this skill. I had this in university. Somebody was watching me read a book, and it was just a book for pleasure. It was a novel of some sort. And I was like flipping page about, you know, right. Not, it wasn't page every second and a half. It was a little slower than that, but they were faster than most people. And the guy sitting beside me goes, "You read awfully fast, but do you remember it?" I'm like, "Sure, here, take the book." It asked me a question on anything of the last 20 pages. And he started asking me, and I was like, "Yep, this happened, blah, blah, blah." And they were always, people are always amazed that you can actually remember and comprehend, take in the information.
Well, that's what happened on the Regis show. I'm
I was
sorry.
Just going to ask you about, no, Howard, you're reading my mind. I was just going to ask you about the Regis show. Anyway, go ahead. Please tell us about it.
So they told me I was going to read a book and then do like a synopsis. And I said, "I can do that." So when I got there, they said, "We changed our mind. We have the writer coming to test you when you're done." Which is not the same as telling them what you remember.
Right.
And the writer was Quentin Crisp. He was a very famous writer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book about going to the movies, except it wasn't a book. It was an encyclopedia. Every page and a half was a different movie. Or a different bio. So there was no continuity.
Right.
No, you know, like when you read a story, there's a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
Every page and a half was a beginning, middle, and end.
Wow.
Which is a lot harder than having a full story, like say The Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
So I read it in, I think I read it in 20 minutes four times. And he tested me. I got every question right. And he asked me trick questions. So he said, "What did I say about the movie The Pirates of Penzance?" I said, "That wasn't one of the movies, but one of the movies." And I mentioned the movie. "You mentioned if the director had seen The Pirates of Penzance and used the methods in that movie for directing instead of the ones he picked, it would have made it a better movie." So that was a trick question. It wasn't even one of the movies. I got it right. So I mean, I'm not going to remember everything.
Right.
I mean, I'm not Rain Man. I don't do toothpicks either, but yeah. I can retain quite a lot. And the trick is to retain what matters.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons people don't learn. They're learning things that have no relevance at the expense of things that really have significance. And one of the things I teach them is how to determine what's relevant from
right.
not. By the way, there's a website, berglearning.com, and there's some free lessons there and my programs, and they could try some of the lessons for free to see if it's a fit for them.
That's awesome. I used to teach some anatomy and physiology at a nutrition school, and what I found was students didn't know how to take notes. Some students didn't know how to take notes properly. They didn't take the relevant notes, and that's a huge issue, like you say.
Would you like a new way to take notes that'll triple the amount of learning you do?
Absolutely.
Okay. Imagine now you have your laptop and you're in a Word document.
Mm-hmm.
Set up three columns. In the first column, write down what you're learning, what most people take notes on, the facts.
Okay. Right.
But that's only one third of the information. So what's the other two thirds?
Mm-hmm.
In the second column, write down what made it interesting. What did they do to get your attention? Was it a story, a joke? Whatever it is they did that got you interested when you're writing or speaking, you could do that.
Okay.
Get other people interested. Or another thing you could put in the second column is your insight, why this seems important.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the trick. In the third column, how will you use this information? That's where the learning takes place. Most people just look at a page and want magic to happen. It's going to stick forever. It doesn't work like that. And you know that from psychology.
Yep.
So if you put down how you're going to use it and how it's going to benefit you in life, and then you make a point of every day, do two or three of those things you said you were going to use and use it. When you start using it and the benefits actually happen, you see results that change your life for the better, you will always remember it because the benefits are what make it stick. But most people don't learn like that. They just try to look at a page and by magic, it should just stay in their brain forever and it doesn't work.
Thank you. That's an awesome tip.
You're also a mind reader. And I know I said that a few minutes ago because I was going to ask you, so you must be very tuned into how conversations go. I was going to ask you about Regis and then I was going to talk to you about your Berg, about your website and Berg Learning. And you just picked right up on that, you know, just to let you know that there are so many things that you're tuned into. So can you share with us a little bit about, besides what you just said with Berg Learning, how did you develop that? Because this is a more than a website.
Actually, I can teach you how that's done. I teach that.
Okay, let's do it.
And actually, I think that would make an interesting segue.
I agree.
Intuition. I mean, most of us get a hunch or a feeling, and we try to figure out how that feeling can help us break through something. So here's what I discovered. I'm going to show you how to actually do this on demand. In psychology, there's three kinds of learning: literal, implied, and inferential. That's not me. That's actually psychology. Literal, implied, inferential. Let me just give you an example of the three kinds of learning and then tell you how to use that to become intuitive. Literal. Imagine you picture in front of you a giant circle, and in the middle of the circle is a point. Just picture a circle with a point. So what are you looking at right now?
Circle with a point.
Right. That's literal. That's the way most people learn. There's words on a page. They don't know why they're learning it. No one told them. They don't know why they need to know it. No one told them. Just bunches of words, go learn it. And that's school for the most part.
Yep.
And it's boring.
Yep.
You have no reason to learn it. No purpose. Second level. A circle with a dot in the middle is not just a circle with a dot. It's a symbol of the sun. Now, it's a symbol of the sun in astronomy. And because many, many years ago, not recently, astrology and astronomy were the same discipline.
Right.
Many hundreds of years ago. So now you know what it is. So it's a little more interesting than it's a circle with a dot in the middle. But now I'm going to tell you it's the meaning of life. And you say, well, how, look, it's a circle with a dot in the middle. I don't see the meaning of life. This is the next level up, and I'm going to show you how it works. This is intuitive. A point is infinitesimally small. Wherever you look, wherever you go, there's an infinite number of points everywhere, and they're all invisible because they're infinitely small. It symbolizes spirit or God, something that's everywhere and invisible. You, anywhere you look is spirit, and yet you never see it. Just like a point, it's everywhere and nowhere to be seen. The circle could be two things. It's an infinitely large point. It's also a boundary. Inside the circle is self, you. Outside the circle is everything in this universe that isn't you. So what does this say? At the center of everybody and everything is this one thing, spirit. We look different, we act different, but actually everything is one thing that looks different but isn't. And another way to look at it is brotherhood is more than a word. We are connected. Everyone is connected. We're all in this together. Humanity is facing challenges as a species, not just as individuals, like global warming. And we're either going to fix it together or we're going to die together. And so what the circle with the point represents is the unity of all things. Everything looks different and acts different, but at the center of everyone is the same thing that's in you. And when you begin to see that and live it, it changes your attitude towards people and how you treat people and how you interact with people when you realize we're all one thing and we're no stronger than the weakest of our brethren. And it changes everything about how you act and how you deal with humanity as a whole.
Wow, I love that. It goes right along with one of my philosophies of life is that what if you were here to say one word to one person and that's the whole purpose of your life, except that you didn't know what the word was and who the person was, how would you live your life?
That's beautiful.
And go for, and live from that.
Now, I'll show you how to become intuitive. The normal way we read, if very young, you were taught letters had sounds like A and B and C. And so when we see letters on a page, our brain hears them. It's like when you read, someone's talking inside of your head, one word at a time. And that's how we read words with letters. But there are systems that are symbolic. And so some of the symbols represent love or desire or fear or optimism. And the part of your brain that's going to read that is not the part of your brain that hears words, but the part of your brain that feels, the limbic system.
Mm.
And our intuition is tied up in our emotional brain. Yes. When you have an insight, it's often a feeling. It's something you feel first, and then you start rationalizing what the feeling is.
Yep.
And I found that you can learn how to do that by practicing learning how to read symbols, and like I did just now with the sun.
Right.
And as you become better at it, what you're doing is you're connecting the emotional brain to the logical thinking brain over and over and over again till at a certain point they're connected and you begin to be more insightful as to what your emotional brain is trying to tell you to do. Just like you said, I seem to be in tune with what you were going to ask. It's literal. You can learn to do that. It's a skill and it's a learnable skill.
Excellent. Thank you for that. That's very useful. Catherine?
Yeah, thank you so much. I wanted to really absorb what you were saying because I didn't want to just listen to it and speak. I wanted to listen to it, hear it, feel absorb it, and then put it into practice. Howard, you have spoken to so many audiences and you've been on different shows and you've done so many great things and you're in Rotary. Can we talk for a few minutes about your impact in Rotary? Because I feel that it's an important part of sure. my life and I know we share that. Can you yes. share a little bit about your Rotary journey?
Sure. I'm actually president of my club for the second time. I was secretary before that. I was
Mazel tov.
That was the district speaker manager. They have, you know, different departments. And I was the one in charge of the list of speakers for the district in Dallas. And I've been using Rotary as a way to help people. One of the things I do through Rotary is once a year, I train the wounded warriors. Now, when I trained the U.S. Special Forces at Fort Bragg, and I also trained the Canadian Army as well in Toronto many years ago. But I trained the U.S. Special Forces at Fort Bragg. And what came across was the 20 wounded warriors commit suicide every day. And I said, why? They can't find jobs. I said, what do you mean? There's a GI Bill. They can go to school. They don't know how to learn. I said, I could teach them how to learn. They can finish the GI Bill. Well, they have no money. I'll teach them for free. My dad was a wounded warrior. He was on Omaha Beach on D-Day. And so once a year through Rotary, I personally train as many wounded warriors as I can on how to learn so they can go back to having a life and not want to kill themselves. And Rotary does all these wonderful things. It works with people that have been hit with a tornado or a hurricane, or like Haiti when they had the hurricane, everyone lost their homes. Rotary brought food and water and tents. Rotary's fighting polio. There's only a handful of cases left in the world. And they're in places where the doctors were being killed, like Pakistan, Afghanistan. They were killing the doctors, trying to give them polio shots. Rotary's doing water projects in Africa and a lot of other countries to help. One of the stories we did in a well, these young girls would walk 5 hours a day to get water for their village. And unscrupulous men knew where they were going to walk, and they raped them. And in that culture, if you were raped, it's your fault. Your family disowned you. So these poor girls are trying to do something to help their families, and then they get accosted by some degenerate, and their family disowns them. So Rotary built a well in the town and then built a school next to the well. So now instead of going on this perilous trip and getting raped, they go to school, they get educated, and then they go to the well next to the school and bring the water home from that every day. So they not only saved these girls from being raped, but they gave them an education and they're able to have a future. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to be part of.
Wow. Yeah. How many years ago did you join Rotary, Howard? Did you say that?
This is about 6 years. I joined an e-club. It's the Rotary e-club of North Texas. Because I travel a lot, I do a lot of programs on the road. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say I'm going to be at a meeting every week because I didn't even know where I was going to be. I could be in Thailand. I can't be at a meeting if I'm in Thailand. So they said, well, join the e-club. You can go online. And if you can't make the meeting, you watch the video later at your own convenience. I said, I can do that. And that's how I got involved with Rotary, because the e-club for me was the perfect way of being able to make a commitment I could keep. If I can't be at the meeting, I can watch the video.
And did you ever have the vision to be president? Well, obviously, it's president 2 years in a row, but did you ever have that as a vision?
Not at all. In fact, I didn't even want to be president. What happened was the person who was elected president quit the club after they did the training, and they didn't have anyone to be president. And I said, you know, if you want to be part of something, especially something that does service to your community, you need to step up and take some responsibility. So I became president to fill in that gap. And then this time we had a president-elect, and her husband got COVID and almost died. And she got COVID and got very sick. So she said, I just can't do it right now. I have to take care of my husband. So again, I said, I'll do it. This is a small club. We got about 15 members. So we all have to do something to keep it running. So I said, I'll do it, because she couldn't do it. She meant well. She'll be president next year. So it was never like, I want to be president, as much as we need somebody to help fill this position, because we can't have a club if no one does it. And so I decided I would step up to do it, to help the club.
What a noble thing to do.
Exactly. That's how I became president in my Toastmasters club. Same way.
And Howard, I'd love to have a conversation with you a little bit more about that, because I'm in my Rotary Club going on to into my sixth year now. And I really have the feeling and the need and the desire to serve at a higher level. We can talk about that. I'm a director in my club right now, and I'm the co-chair of the membership committee, but I really feel like I could step it up, if you know what I mean. Like, there's something else, there's more that I can do. So I'd love to have that conversation with you at another time.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And at this moment in our show, I'd like to take us to what we call our BU final moment. We could talk to you for hours, and hopefully we'll be able to do that again. So in our BU final moments, what we look for is something that came up for you. What rose to the top? What impression, what image, what idea did you receive from being on our show today, and for our guests to hear your share?
I think the way you went into Rotary, I've been on a lot of interviews, I mean, thousands, and nobody's really ever focused on my involvement. I mean, we mentioned Rotary sometimes, occasionally, but nobody really made that a center part of the interview. And it just made me reflect more about, you know, what it means to me and how important it is in our world. For me, we live in incredibly selfish times, not as much in Canada as here, but it's pretty much wherever you go, people are like, if there's nothing in it for me, why do I care? What's in it for me? Or leave me alone. And there are very few people left that say, what can I do to help? How can I make a difference? And that's what I loved about Rotary. It's like, I'm going to share something I didn't talk about. When I got out of college, I became a yogi. I spent a lot of time in a yoga ashram and meditating. And even though I don't live in an ashram anymore, it rubbed off on me. It made me realize we're all connected. Everyone matters. It's not just about us. And what I loved about Rotary was this humanitarian vision they had. It doesn't have to be something in it for you. What's in it for you is serving and making a difference and helping build a better world. And that's kind of what I'm doing in my regular work, helping people get smarter so they can make better choices and decisions than the ones they're making. When you look at the world, do you think there's too many smart people making too many good decisions? I haven't heard that. So I feel my job is, I can't make all the decisions. I don't know everything, but I can help people learn more, understand better, read faster, connect more dots. And they will be the ones who find the answers to problems that we're searching for. And I feel that that's what I was thinking about when we were talking, that it felt good to be talking about that because I very rarely get to talk about that aspect of my life or even Rotary.
Thank you, Howard. Service above self and the four-way test. You are the epitome of service above self. And I appreciate that. And it's very near and dear to my heart. So we definitely have a very big share on that vibration.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You need more people.
Yes, and we can talk about that because as a membership co-chair, I would love to talk about more people understanding. That could be something we can collaborate on.
Well, I told you I would be happy to come there after COVID and do a 4-hour course to raise funds for the club and help you build membership at the same time. And that's something I can do and I would be happy to do.
Thank you, because we're looking into the how we're going to meet. So we will definitely talk about that as well. My club will be honored, completely honored to have you come to St. Catharines here in Niagara. Well, that's actually St. Catharines. I'm in Niagara on the lake, but that club is in St. Catharines. And Howard, I appreciate so much that it means what it does to you and for you to serve 2 years in a row as president to your club and to offer to come to our club in St. Catharines. It's very generous of you. And as a true Rotarian, we will accept and reciprocate. So thank you so much for that. And anything that I can personally do, I would be happy to do that. Dr. Energy, let's talk about your BU final moment.
My BU final moment is that, as Howard mentioned, the what's in it for me? So many people ask, what's in it for me? You know, we talk in sales marketing, right? What's in it for me? So when we're approaching a prospect or a potential client, it's what's in it for me is, and how can I get something out of this instead of the client getting the best? And I think when we turn our focus from ourself, much like the Rotary service above self is about, when we focus on others and helping them get what they need or what they want, that's when life truly becomes rewarding. We start to pay more attention to and connect with others and see them for who they are. We see them as that dot in the center of that circle. We see that spirit, that light behind the form, that true essence of that person. And when we can recognize that in somebody else, they connect with us and we connect with them at a much deeper level. And it just takes the whole relationship to a whole other place. And that sense of knowingness, connection, intuitiveness is amplified, and you never know what great things are going to come out of it. So that's my BU final moment today. Catherine, what's your BU final moment today?
Thank you. Well, Howard, I was born in Brooklyn and raised in New York. And when I said, I feel like I'm home I don't know if you knew that.
No.
When you spoke at our Rotary and you're speaking, I feel home. And that's what I meant by that. that it just makes me feel so comfortable. So I was born in Brooklyn, raised in New York. I lived in Long Island. And I moved to Canada when I was 28 and moved to Montreal. And so I am, you know, I'm a New Yorker. We can't change that. And when I hear you speak, when I hear you speak, what comes up for me is I just feel so comfortable. I know that I can speak with you and I can speak with lots of people for sure, but there's some unspoken connection. And it really makes me feel good. So in terms of learning and remembering and using our intuition and the tools and the lessons that you taught us today, when there's a connection and the connection of Rotary, when there's a connection, it goes deeper than just I'm here at the moment and let me make the best of it. Or let me make sure that I understand this because, you know, Howard's here with me. It's more than that. And I appreciate what you're doing and what you're offering to us and to our audience. And personally, I want to thank you so much because you just made my day.
Well, thank you. I just want to remind people to go to berglearning.com for some free lessons and see if it could help you and your family become more successful in a knowledge-based economy. And by the way, we have a support team to help you. And if they don't help you, I personally do. Mm-hmm. I want people to know we don't just want to make a sale. We want to make them smarter and have a better life. And we'll support them in doing that.
That's amazing. I was on your website and I see that it says I'm your personal bot. It's a great site. I'm going to make sure that I go on that again with my husband. We'll play around with that. Thank you for being our guest today on BU Network Podcast. Please hang out with us. We're going to ask you a few more questions.
And thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about conversations worth having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.b-u.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.b-u.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, baby.